Our first scripture lesson today will be the responsive psalm reading, Psalm 107. You can find it on page 830. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Some wander in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell. Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind.
For the Lord satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
The Lord turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into a thirsty ground.
A fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants.
The Lord turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water.
The Lord lets the hungry dwell and establish a city in which to live.
They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours content upon princes and make them wander in trackless wastes.
But the Lord raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks.
The upright sees it and are glad, and all the wickedness stops its mouth.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the prophet Hosea, Hosea 11, verses 1 through 11, and you can find it in the Pew Bible in the Old Testament on page 794. This is a fascinating description of God's nature and how one might imagine God approaches God's people. Hear these words. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord, who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west, They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 190 in your New Testament. Hear these words. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us move now to the gospel lesson, the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And if you look into your pew Bible, into the New Testament, you'll find it on page 70. And if you want to visualize what we're talking about, the image on the front of your bulletin is a good American version of perhaps what the Bible's talking about. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you like to read novels? Okay, well, I'm one of those. How many of you like to watch movies? Yeah, we watch a lot of movies in our family. And if you're like me, you really like the way a plot develops, either in a movie or in a novel. One of the most fascinating plot elements to me is the flashback. You probably know how that works. Often the story will begin with a scene that may be shocking or confusing. And then the rest of the story goes back in time to explain how the characters got to that eventuality that you saw at the beginning. Well, if you normally read the New Revised Standard Version, which is our Pew Bible, this story that I just read from the Gospel of Luke is often entitled The Parable of the Rich Fool. But what I'd like to do with your help today is to imagine, let's put that flashback plot approach onto this story and see how it might have turned out differently if we tweak a few things. So in our story, we'll use the same actions that this guy did, but we'll use a different motive and we'll discover that we get an entirely different outcome. As Jesus tells this story, it begins with this line, "The land of a rich man produced abundantly." Well, right at this point, I want you to imagine that this man was a true follower of the way of Jesus Christ. And this rich fool understood about the economy of the kingdom of God. This rich man recognizes that all of his good fortune and all of his abundant crops are actually the product of the land, just as Jesus said, and are therefore the unconditional and gracious gifts of God. The rich man neither deserves these riches, nor did he do anything to earn them by his own deeds. And so in our story, the rich man says to himself, "Truly, God has been very good to me, and I will respond by giving back to God what is already God's in the first place." Our story goes along just as the story from Luke. The rich man decides to pull down his barn and to build larger barns so that he can store all his grain and all his goods. But when we look closely, things are a little bit different in our story. Because in our story, this rich man learned two things while he was in church. First of all, he learned, and he now lives, the idea that there is an important distinction between what we want and what we need. A difference between what we want on the one hand and what we need on the other. What we truly need in order to live a life of gracious abundance as God wants us to live is often far less than what we believe we need because of the amazing marketing pressures of our North American society. Everywhere you look, somebody is telling you that you have to buy this. The world would have us believe that our wants are truly, in fact, our actual needs. Kingdom living tells us that this is absolutely not the case. And the wise man knows this. The rich man knows this in his heart. The second thing that this guy knows from being in church is that he tries to live by a wise maxim from John Wesley, who is the founder of the movement that would become our United Methodist Church. Wesley said, "Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can." Now, Wesley was a hardworking guy. He saw great value and true virtue in hard work. He believed that Christian people should work hard, earning all they can. He also saw the wisdom in saving money and letting it work for you. And surely also John Wesley saw that money could do good things for people in need, for people who needed things, and so he advised folks to give away as much of their money as they could. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. And the rich man in our story knows this in his heart too. And so the rich man says to himself, And I will say to my soul, soul, God has been more than gracious to you, and He will take care of you throughout your life. So it is time to do all you can to honor God by building up God's kingdom on earth. And so the rich man in our story builds those bigger barns so that he can open a food pantry for all the poor and homeless people throughout his region. And Jesus says, so it is with those who give away all their earthly treasures for God's kingdom. These people are truly rich toward God. This week, my sisters and brothers, I ask you to consider the many blessings in your life. All the good things you have, the wonderful people you love, and the abundant life that you're living. And I want you to come to the realization of the source of all of these blessings. That realization is the very beginning of what it means to be rich toward God. Shalom. Amen.